very welcome along to this Ella Magazine podcast with myself, Jenny Butler.
And myself, Scott Butler. We are recording this in the very centre of Dublin City Centre, the same cafe, actually, where we once recorded our Dublin Pride special. So in some ways, we're going back to a bit of fond memories. And this is what this podcast is going to be all about. We're going to take a look at what were the best moments of 2014 for Ireland's LGBT community. So I guess we can start off with one of the biggest events that made Ireland go global when it came to the LGBT community. Now, in some ways, it's spoken about a hell of a lot in terms of LGBT media, but it's well worth a mention. That's, of course, Pantygate. It doesn't really need much introduction for many of our listeners by this stage that Pantybliss, aka Rory O'Neill, got into a bit of legal controversy with the national broadcaster, RTE, and that was to do with calling certain people homophobic, where many people would have agreed with him, but of course the people who he mentioned weren't necessarily that agreeable to the term. It made Panty go onto the spotlight with a fantastic speech that was part of the Noble Call in the Abbey Theatre. It was moving, it was unexpected, and the fact that it was a 10-minute speech on homophobia, that was a very heavy topic, let's face it, but done in drag, just made everyone open up and go, that's amazing.
It's definitely one of the things I think this year that sort of kind of marked maybe a bit of a transition in a way for Ireland, and in particular I think maybe for Dublin, because Dublin is always seen as a sort of a safe haven in a way for people to come. Like, if you grow up in the countryside or something like that, you know, most places you'll more than likely gravitate towards Dublin because it does have the likes of the George and the Dragon and Panty Bar, the kind of gay bars where you can, you know, have an out life.
Yeah.
As it were, in the city. But I think as well, another thing that really kind of pushed that forward for us, which I'm particularly proud of, would be, to pardon the pun, would actually be this year's Dublin Pride.
Now,
I thought that was fantastic this year.
We were covering Dublin Pride as we were media partners, as Ella Magazine was media partner for Dublin Pride this year. We were able to record parts of the parade that was going down O'Connell Street, and one of the most moving moments, I think, for both of us was seeing the Garda Band being involved in Dublin Pride, which had never happened before.
Definitely, that was really heartwarming. I actually remember, we're actually on O'Connell Street at the moment, that's where we're recording this from. It's the same cafe as Scott mentioned earlier that we recorded the Pride special, but we actually, when we went to record kind of segments of the parade and when we went to take a look at that, the Garda Band happened to be just be kind of coming up next, and they started playing Happy, like Pharrell Williams song. That was just incredible. Like, even the people, you know, the musicians partaking in it, in the Garda Band, they were just fantastic. They looked really happy. Nobody looked uncomfortable or out of place. They looked delighted to be there, delighted to be part of it, and it was absolutely fantastic to see. They did get a marvellous reception as well, all throughout the routes of the parade as well. So, you know, it marks such a big change.
It does.
This will be something that we can go forward with, because we have come on in leaps and bounds, no doubt, with great thanks to Rory O'Neill, aka Pantybliss, for all of the endeavours that have put Ireland firmly back on the map and have really pushed the issue as well of marriage equality, which, you know, is leading to the next, I guess, big update of the year. So.
Well, it is. Of course, you know, the big headline that was coming up to the end of the year was that the Irish government have finally announced that the referendum will be held in May of 2015 for marriage equality. Now, in some ways, you know, I've been slightly cynical in the past that, you know, we were told that it was going to be early in 2015, then we were given a month, but we haven't been given a particular date yet, or at least at the time of recording this podcast, the government hasn't announced an official date. With that in mind, the referendum campaign can't officially start. So there are downsides to the fact that the government seems to be very slow in terms of announcing a date, but at the same time, we now know that by probably June, we will have a result on marriage equality, and if the opinion polls are anything to go by, that it will be quite positive, as long as the majority of the yes voters aren't too complacent in their opinions. It is fantastic to see that, you know, we're finally getting there, and after the year that Ireland has had in terms of, you know, LGBT rights and debate and discussion, not just in Ireland but internationally, as you said yourself, you know, the spotlight has really been shown on this country over the last while because of the marriage equality debate and LGBT rights in general. But I think it needs to come to an end. if that makes sense. We've been waiting long enough. This now needs to actually get to the finale.
I think so as well, but also interestingly, there is a lot of staunch opposition to this. And this is something that we've come up against and that we're seeing a lot in the media, especially with the likes of BAI rulings in terms of fairness and in terms of impartiality and what you can actually say when you're talking about something like this, because they're calling it essentially a current affairs issue. That's the official line. But I really think when you're talking about something, there's a difference between current affairs and human rights.
Yes.
And I think that the human rights element of this is getting lost somewhere along the way. I think this has become something where you don't just see, I mean, you see marriage equality as being, you know, an issue and a current affairs issue. Mm. But the problem with this is that you don't see the people behind that name, marriage equality.
Yeah.
People aren't seeing the families that don't have recognition. They're not seeing the partners who don't have recognition. There's no face to that, which I think Adam Long has spoken about for Ella and, of course, on the Cosmo and RT Pulse as well, where you need to put a face to that. You need to have people understand that it's not just this word that you're voting for.
Mm.
You're voting for your neighbour who wants to get married. You're voting for your
nephew or
son,
niece,
anything.
Yeah.
This is personal. This isn't just current affairs.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, there's been so much debate and talk about it that you're right, that is becoming overlooked because no one is really putting that together yet. You know, yourself and myself, Jenny, you know, we're able to look at things from a very media perspective, and both of us can see that, yes, there's a fair amount of debate about this. There's, you know, there's people talking about this on a very theoretical viewpoint, if you want to call it that. But in terms of the personal stories, they're not coming through too often, but at the same time, that's because A, very few people are standing out themselves and giving the personal account, and B, if there's going to be any campaign where there is going to be a personal aspect to these stories, you know, if there's going to be something orchestrated from presumably the Yes side where there's going to be personal stories involved, that hasn't started yet. So that's maybe a strategy flaw in the campaign that people in the Yes side will be hoping to achieve. We might see it in a few months' time once the referendum has officially, or the referendum campaign has officially launched. Maybe it's a case that we're being too, not necessarily too cynical, but, you know, that we might be jumping the gun in terms of saying, well, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. On the other side of it, you know, we are already debating this, which means that something should have started.
You also have the likes of the USI getting involved with this now, because the USI president,
Laura Harman, isn't it?
Laura Harman.
Yeah.
She came forward and said, look, you know, people are going to be in the middle of exams in May.
Mm.
People are going to be stuck in exam halls or revising and whatever else and studying for their exams. And some people are doing finals. And although people would love to be able to get out and vote, even the late vote, if you're up late studying for your finals, for your masters or whatever, that's completely understandable that you mightn't make it to vote. So the USI are coming forward and saying, look, can we not do this in April? Can we make some arrangement for this?
This is the slightly annoying thing, because from almost as far back as Pink Training earlier this year, actually, which of course is the LGBT kind of conference or, you know, national meetup of the NUI college societies or university societies for the LGBT community, and they were all saying that this needs to be held at an earlier point. Despite those calls months ago from Pink Training, no one's paying attention, which is worrying in some ways, because one of the largest groups for the Yes campaign is going to be from the younger generations. Of course, a lot of those younger generations are going to be in third level education. So they are being ignored, and it seems like either they're being actively dismissed or no one is really paying proper attention to them from the government side, which is very, very strange, because it's not a case of, you know, there's an opposition party that's against this referendum. Every single political party wants to see a yes vote. So we're in a very strange situation here, when you think that we're in a republic, a democratic state, and yet there's not a single political party that is actually against this. If you were to look at maybe France or even possibly the UK or certain parties maybe in the UK, you might see one or two parties saying no or trying to slow things down. You don't have that in Ireland. And yet the government are still being very, very slow in what they want to do with this. It's very strange.
It's sort of like, I don't know, again, I don't wish to be cynical, and this is something that we struggle with along with this campaign, is that I don't want to think of this being like a sort of a Little Red Riding Hood type of situation where you have the nice, you know, sweet grandma that's saying, oh yes, you know, marriage equality, and we're all for that, but behind it, are there people in political parties who aren't with that united front but might have a say in how things go? And, you know, PR side, everything looks fantastic, but the people who actually make things happen are, you just don't know, you would know, and we may never know, Scott.
Well, look, this is one thing, you know, from a... both a media point of view and also from an LGBT point of view, we might not necessarily know the individuals of who might be actually against it in politics, against the issue or the idea of marriage equality. That being said, even the most conservative party that we seem to have in Ireland at the moment, that being Fine Gael, even they are officially on board. And to see the Taoiseach and the Kenny, the fact that he was... in fairness to him, quite reserved and quite conservative originally on the issue of marriage equality. To see him near to the end of this year in Panty Bar, which is, as many people know, is a well-known gay bar in Dublin, to see him popping in for drinks with the LGBT members of his own political party, I think is a good sign. Now, yes, we are all very well able to be quite cynical, and I think it is a default characteristic of the Irish. But I think credit where credit is due on that one. Even if there are naysayers within certain political parties, and it isn't just necessarily Fine Gael, even though they are quite conservative. It could be Sinn Féin, it could be Fianna Fáil, it could well be Labour, although Labour are very well known to be quite pro-gay.
He didn't have to go.
Exactly. He didn't actually have to go. Now, there were other controversies that were going on that weren't connected with the LGBT community at that point. Homelessness was a very, very big controversy around the same time. So I think either way, he was going to be damned if you do, damned if you don't. But it was quite good for that particular point of view that he did show up, and as you said yourself, he didn't have to. So on that note, I think there's probably a lot that we can be hopeful for next year. Obviously, the marriage equality referendum is going to be coming up. We're going to have another season of Pride festivals and arts festivals and film festivals that will be taking place in 2015. I have to admit, I'm quite hopeful for next year in terms of the LGBT community in Ireland.
I think so as well. I think it's one of those things where eventually this has to become, I don't want to say a non-issue, but eventually it just has to be one of these things where marriage equality eventually has to happen. If it doesn't happen this time around in the referendum, I don't know. I'm positive. I'm cautiously cynical, as we always say. But do you know what? I do see good things for 2015. Yeah. I see Ireland standing up for equality across all different sectors, not just LGBT kind of issues or LGBT-related campaigns. So yeah. I'm hoping that this will just be something where Irish people stand up for themselves, you know, and shake the country up a little bit. And you know, we're a little country, but we sure pack
pack our punch. And I think that's something that needs to be remembered, is that... you know, it's something that we should be proud of. And I don't just mean in an LGBT capacity, but in general, you know, for a small country, we have come on leaps and bounds. There are many, many issues that we could also talk about that aren't LGBT related. But I think on this particular front, especially over the last 12 months, we've done very, very well for ourselves. And hopefully it's going to put us on some good footing and a bit of headway for 2015. So fingers crossed.
Hopefully so.
Thank you so much for listening into us and paying attention to Ellen Magazine over the last 12 months. We will be speaking to you very, very soon in our January digital issue, which of course will be available on ella.ie and also issue.com/Ella Magazine. But in the meantime, for myself, Scott the Butler.
And for me, Jenny Butler.
Thank you very much for listening. Have a great new year and talk to you soon.
Happy New Year.